Well, it's exciting to be here this morning with all of you. I love what used to be called Graduation Sunday. I don't know if it's just us anymore. Will, do you know if it's just this class that's moving up, or is everybody kind of transitioning this Sunday? Is it?
Everybody.
Okay, cool. So it is still Graduation Sunday. That's awesome. As a quick reminder, I am not Pastor Adam. That's Pastor Adam right there. Everyone say hi, Pastor Adam. He's awesome. You're going to hear a lot from him over your years here in exchange. But this morning, he's asked me to talk with you a little bit about this new ministry that you're in, which is Exchange. Quick show of hands from the group. If you've grown up at Grace Church since you were like a baby, hands up high. Let me see them. Oh, wow. Okay, that's awesome. Quick show of hands. And if you're a little bit newer to Grace Church, maybe your family's come in the past couple years, show of hands. Let me see. Maybe the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, so quite a bit too. Good mix. Good mix. Well, I have been blessed to grow up here at Grace Church. I've been at Grace my entire life, and I've served in the basement now here in Exchange for about 15 years. Yeah, thanks. I'm currently 20 years old. No, just kidding. You guys can try to guess my age later. Thank you. Whoever said that, give him some candy. I love this church and I love this ministry. And in your time in Exchange, students, I hope that you come to love it as much as I do. This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about how you can, as a sixth grader coming to Exchange, survive and also thrive in this new era of middle school ministry. Before we jump in, let's have a quick word of prayer again and ask the Lord's blessing. Father God, we're so thankful for our church. We're thankful for this ministry. We're thankful for elders who, Lord, invest time and resources into youth ministry, Lord. We are so just blessed to be here. Thank you for bringing all these students here, Lord, this new class, as well as our 7th and 8th graders who have been faithful. Lord, we love you so much. Pray that you bless this time. Continue to do a work in our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. So like I mentioned, I grew up at Grace Church. I went through Awana's. It's called Adventure Club now. You guys, I think, are all familiar with Adventure Club. I sat in this very basement. I sat in these seats. It was a much uglier basement back then when I was here. I went to 180, which is our high school group. And then right after 180, I joined Exchange. So I came down to the basement to serve. And I've been fortunate enough to serve in the Santa Clarita Valley with Dr. Scott. We have other leaders, but Dr. Scott's been with me for 15 years. Yeah, you can give a round of applause. That's good. There's been a lot of other great leaders that we serve with, but Dr. Scott's kind of been my partner in ministry for these last 15 years. And as I was thinking about this, I ran some rough numbers cause, just because I was curious, and I calculated that in Santa Clarita alone, just the boys group, we've had about 650 boys come through just that group, which is a lot over the years. That number gets well into the thousands when you think about how large this group is with all of you guys. So why does that matter? Well, it matters because over the years, I've seen a lot of students come through this ministry. I've seen a lot of boys and girls really take advantage of the time that they have here. But sadly, I've seen many students waste the time that they have here. And today, I want to help you guys think practically about how someone can take advantage of these years as you guys are here for the next 3, the next 2, the next 1. And I say that because this isn't just for you sixth graders. This is for our 7th and 8th graders as well, because we know that you guys easily forget things. I hope that this can serve just as a little reminder, maybe a kick in the pants for some of you, so that you can really make the time left that you have count. And as I was thinking through this message, and Pastor Adam asked me to do this, and I said, man, that's hard. Because I'm thinking about so many students. I'm thinking about so many people who have come before you. I'm thinking about you guys. Your staff was praying for you this week. But I was also thinking about this guy. And I think we have a picture. This is a picture of me. I know, shocking. Looks nothing like you, exactly. This is my 8th grade school photo. I don't know why my mom let me wear a white tee to school photos, but she did. Homeschoolers, you guys don't get to do this. Let no, you don't. You don't get to do this. Your mom puts you in front of a little sign that you hold outside, and they take a cute photo. You guys don't know what it's like to go into a room that's dark, where there's one old scary lady and a photo booth set up. And you sit down, and she says, you get one photo, one chance, one opportunity, and they snap that photo. I also had long hair. Yes, I did. I obviously don't have long hair anymore. Thank you. Shocked, really? And when I was thinking about you guys and thinking about this sermon, I was also thinking about myself. Like I said, I sat in these seats. I went through this ministry. I spent time here. What would I tell my junior high self? What would I talk to him about if I could help him? So today, as we talk about this, I want to give you four practical points, four things that you can think about when it comes to not just surviving in middle school, but thriving in this ministry. Our first point, very simple, is to come. We want you guys to come. Sixth graders, you heard a little bit about this on our parent night. Pastor Adam talked about the importance of just being here, being in this ministry, being in exchange on a couple different event nights that we do, which is Sundays. And then Will talked about Wednesdays. Wednesday nights are really, really, really important, and we want you guys here. On Wednesdays, we do small groups. We hang out. We play games. We fellowship. We get to catch up with you guys in the middle of the week. It's really awesome. We get to spend time together. And as we spend more time together and you are here more often, you don't just get to know your fellow students, but you get to know us as your staff as well. And we don't just want you guys here on Sundays and Wednesdays, even though that would be amazing. We want you to come to events. Will and I went through, went through the calendar very quickly. But we do so many fun things in this ministry. Will is our junior high intern. You guys can look and say, hi, Will. He's in the back over here. Hi, Will. Will's awesome, and he's cooking up events all year for you guys. We do, like Will mentioned, we do small group nights. We do gym nights. We do theme nights, summer camps, winter camps. We do all these things, and you guys, we want you to be there. We want you to be there. We want you to come, and not just come, but we want you to enjoy the time there. And I know you're thinking, well, AJ, I don't know if you know this, but I don't drive. I do know that, thank you. I know that you guys have commitments. I know that sports are crazy now. I know that you guys have practices on Wednesdays and games and tournaments on weekends, and I know that. I know that you have family commitments. I know that you have other things that you guys have going on, but I want to give you a practical piece of advice. Tell your parents that you actually want to be here. And that you actually want to come, and that will go a long way. Mom and Dad, I want to be at exchange. Mom and Dad, I want to be at summer camp. Mom and Dad, I want to be at winter camp. Tell your parents that you want to be here, and they will definitely make the effort to get you here. And I mentioned the staff earlier. Guys, we're not just a bunch of really beautiful people standing around. We want to help you. If you guys need carpool, rides, maybe just introducing other parents via email so that we can make sure that you're here. We are happy to step in and do that for you just as something practical. We want you here as often as possible. And the more you come, students, the more comfortable you're going to get. I know that Will and I asked you this morning, he was a little bit nervous, and you didn't even need to raise your hand because I can feel it. Will and I do this enough where we can feel the energy. We can feel the nervous energy. And it's okay to be nervous. This is a big moment for a lot of you. This is like a big thing, moving up into middle school, then moving up into high school later on. And the way that you guys get past that nervousness or maybe that little bit of anxiety that you're feeling is to be here. Because the more that you're here, the more comfortable that you guys are going to get. One of my favorite quotes is a quote that says, there's really three types of people in this world. There's those who make things happen. There's those who watch things happen. And there's those who say, what happened? As your staff, we don't want you standing around watching things happen when you're here on Sundays and Wednesdays. I don't want you to get through your 3 years in middle school and walk into high school and say, what the heck just happened? What did I even do the last 3 years? We want you to make things happen. And in order to make things happen, you guys need to be here. You need to be involved. And as you begin to be here more often, you'll find it's not just about showing up, although that is, I would say, half the battle. This will bring us to our second point. You have to care. Our second point, you have to care. So not only do you need to be here, but you need to care. To care about something means you take an interest in it. You value it. You all know, I think, what it is to care about something. And when you care about something, you take ownership of it, right? You want to own that thing. You're invested in it. Students, like I said, this is your group. This is your fellowship group. And that's really something to take pride in and to be excited about. This is your group. This is not my fellowship group. This is not my Bible study. This is your fellowship group. This is the Exchange Middle School Ministry. And guys, if you come and you show up and you're invested in it and you care about what's going on here, it's going to be great. But if you don't, you're really going to have a miserable couple years. Juniors is awesome. We love our juniors peeps. Go juniors. But Exchange is different, guys. It's so, so different. And it's different on purpose. We treat you like young adults. I'm talking to you like a young adult. My Santa Cruz guys are laughing right now because I tell them this to them all the time. But we treat you like young adults because you are. We give you a lot of freedoms. I don't think anybody this morning told you where to sit. I don't think, at least I didn't see Will going around and putting people in chairs. But we don't do that here. We expect you guys to show up and sit down and bring your Bible and bring your pen and bring your notes and do these things and make sure you drank water this morning. Like, we are not your parents, which is also awesome. Your parents are awesome. We are not them. We treat you like young adults. We give you freedoms. And because we do that, we have expectations as your staff that you will, again, conduct yourself in a certain way. And sixth graders, we'll warm you up into this. There's going to be a lot of training, and our seventh and eighth graders are obviously still training, but we want you guys to care. When I was in junior high, I loved sneakers. I loved shoes. I think that resonates with girls and guys. So I loved sneakers, especially white sneakers. I remember when I get a new pair, and I'd get that pair, and I couldn't wait to wear them around. Just crisp, white sneakers. But when I wore them, I was always super nervous, and I was always very careful when I put on those fresh kicks to not step on any dirt, any gum. I'm watching out for puddles, like I'm walking around like this. I didn't want to touch anything. I didn't want anything touching my shoes, and it even got to the point where I'd be at church with friends, and I'd stand a couple feet back, and I'd talk to them at a distance because I didn't want them to accidentally step on my new shoes. And if I made it home that day and survived, I wouldn't just take the shoes off and chuck them. I would actually get a towel, paper towel, a little water, clean them up, wipe down the dirt. Thank you. I know you guys do that. Jasper too? Yeah, I loved my shoes. I cared about my shoes. And when I was done wiping them off, I wouldn't just chuck them in the closet. I'd actually put them back in the box they came in. I went that far. I'd wrap the paper over them. I'd tuck them in. And then I wouldn't chuck the box in the closet. No, no, no. I'd place it strategically there next to the other shoes in the rotation. I really cared about my shoes. And I think you guys all have things in your life that you care about. You know what it means to care. And students, if you care, this ministry will do so much more for you than a new pair of shoes or a new bag or a new jacket. If you care, it means that you come and you look for opportunities to serve. You look for opportunities to get involved. You take care of it. What does that look like practically? Well, we're not asking you to come up here and teach or lead music. We got that covered. It could be as simple as taking down the Gaga ball pit on Wednesday nights. Sixth graders, you're going to be more accustomed to what that looks like in the next coming weeks, but that could be something. It could be picking up a piece of trash on your way out after a Sunday morning. It could be telling the person next to you to stop talking. It could be, I just heard a lot of people say, stop talking. That was good. Good job, guys. There are a lot of ways to show that you care. 1 John 3:18 says this, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Again, we want you to take action, students. We want you to be involved. We want you to listen during sermons. We want you not to distract others. We want you to sing songs. We want you to ask questions in small groups. We want you to take notes. We want you to have fun. We want you to have a blast playing the games and doing those things. And student, we want you to care about every single thing that we do, care about it all. And if you come to Exchange often and you care about what we're doing here, this will naturally lead you into our third point, which is to create. Create. Students who survive and thrive in middle school, they create lasting relationships with their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. This morning, you're surrounded by a lot of familiar faces, which is awesome. But there's also a lot of new ones. You guys will be put in a small group on Wednesdays with new people, people that you do not know. You will share a cabin at summer camp with people that you do not know. You will play games and do fun things with people you do not know. And student, there is no better place for you to make friends than in Exchange here on Sundays and Wednesdays and at events. If you come to Exchange and you care about this ministry, you will meet people doing the same thing, which is awesome. And because of that, you will be able to create a lasting relationship with them. I'm still friends with a lot of people that I actually sat in this basement with. I know that other staff here, Joe and Daniel, Joey, other guys, they have friends who they still are close with to this day that they knew in middle school. Those friendships have lasted a lifetime, and I've been so blessed by them. And one of the coolest things is that I tell students is you might have those relationships with people you haven't even met yet. You might meet people in the next 6 months or the next 7 months or the next year or the next 2 years that are going to be those lifetime friends and those lifetime relationships, and that's really exciting. That's why we love doing that game, Padawan. I think it's hilarious to watch you guys ask questions and be interested and try to find out as much as you can about somebody in 10 minutes. It takes a lot longer than that, but it's a good start. Meet someone you haven't met. Ask them questions. Get to know them. Build a relationship. Create those relationships. And you'll see there's a sub-point. It's not just students, but it's also the staff. You will create relationships with the staff around here, myself, your small group leaders. They're all around this room. They're amazing people who love their church, and they want to serve you guys. Over the years, I've been lucky enough to be invited to weddings of students that I had in middle school. We've been able to create such a strong relationship that I've been fortunate enough to also be invited to graduations and soccer games and birthday parties. I don't always go. Don't, you know, feel like you can just invite me to all your birthday parties. But all of these cool events just because we have a relationship. Student, your staff want to get to know you, and I encourage you to get to know them. Spend time with them. It will only make your time here so, so much better. And as you create new relationships with students and staff, you're also going to be strengthening and cultivating the ones that you already have. I know that you guys came up with friends. Invest in those relationships. Continue to build those up. But don't be afraid to meet new people and to make new relationships. And as you're doing that, and as you're coming to this ministry and going to these events and being involved, you're going to create another thing, and that's memories. You're going to create really good memories here. In Santa Clarita, we always like to ask eighth grade boys, hey, what's been your favorite memory of middle school? And they always need a second because there's so many that are coming to their mind. And usually they come up with, they remember a silly game that we did, or something at summer camp with a friend, or a small group time, or, you know, something like that. And student, if you come to Exchange and you care, you will create these relationships, you'll create these memories. It's going to be really good and really helpful for you for the rest of your life. And I know some of you may be saying, well, AJ, you've never met me. You don't know how awkward I am. I do, trust me. You don't know how shy I am. I do, trust me, I know. How can I you know, how can I expect to create relationships when I'm shy and awkward and all these things? Well, I think Scripture is helpful here. And in exchange, we have the opportunity to practice what we call the one another's. Scripture is full of them. I'm just going to read a couple to you. You can jot these down if you want. Ephesians 4:2 says, with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Ephesians 4:32, you guys know this one. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility, consider one another as more important than yourselves. 1 Peter 4:9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Simply, students, treat others the way that you want to be treated. Be kind. Care about the people around you. Look to serve the people around you, and you will create relationships. So we've looked at a couple of things so far. We've looked at, we want you to come, we want you to care, and we want you to create. And our fourth and last point for this morning of how you can survive and thrive here in exchange is challenge. Challenge. Students, to be honest, one of the hardest things in thinking about what to say for this quick session, and one of the hardest things that I continue to think about, is that there are people in this room, you students, who do not know Jesus savingly. You have not given your life to Christ. You think you're okay because you're maybe a good kid. Maybe you even read your Bible. Maybe you pray. Maybe you knew all the right answers in junior small groups. Maybe your parents are saved and they serve and they're awesome. Maybe they serve in their fellowship group, which is like really cool. But I've seen so many students come through this basement. Like I said, I gave you some numbers. And unfortunately, I've seen a lot of students go on to high school and go on to college. And somewhere in between that middle school and college season of life, they end up leaving the church. They walk away. They walk away from their faith. They walk away sometimes from their family. Because they were never truly saved. Coming to church on Sundays and Wednesdays is awesome. Coming to events, caring about this place because it's fun and maybe a break from your week to week, creating relationships here, all that stuff is amazing, but none of that, student, makes you a Christian. I showed you guys that picture of me earlier against my better judgment. Now you guys have some info on me. I showed you that picture of me and that boy sitting there in his eighth grade year. He came to church a lot. He was involved. He had great relationships. He had believing parents, but he did not have Jesus. I did not accept Christ in my life until I was midway through high school. I thought I was good enough, like I was never the worst of the worst. I thought I was probably doing enough to get by. But in my heart, I was rejecting Jesus. I didn't love him. I didn't seek to obey him. I wanted what I wanted, and that was simply that. Thankfully, in my time in exchange, I was challenged by my leaders. And guys, guess what? You're going to be challenged by yours. Because we don't want you to leave this ministry after these 3 years standing there going, what happened? I don't want you to leave this ministry unable to answer the question about where you stand before the Lord. But guys, as your leaders, we can only challenge you so much. You need to challenge yourself. You need to challenge your own heart. You need to ask yourself, am I truly saved? Do I truly know Jesus? Do I even want to know him? And it's really a challenge, and that's why I like this word, to be honest with yourself, especially in a place like Grace Church where you feel like everyone is saying the same thing. Everybody's just a Christian, and everybody's just, you know, they're doing all these things, and like I just need to say it to get by. Like, no. You keep fooling yourself. Like, nobody wants to be the odd man out, so you lie, and you say, like, I'm good enough. maybe if I say it enough times to my small group leader, it'll become true or people will get off my back. I know, students, that you are smart and that you are capable. That's one thing I definitely know 100% is true about middle schoolers. And students, your staff, myself included, we are not under the impression that all of you are walking with Jesus and that all of you are even walking with Jesus in the way that you want to be. We don't think that. We don't need nor want you to fake anything. I don't want you to fake anything. I did it. I faked it. And I paid for it. We care about the truth, guys. We care about God's word. And we want you to be honest. Not for my sake, but for yours. Not for your staff's sake, but for yours. And I know it's hard, and maybe there are some of you who are saved who are here, and you're struggling with assurance. Man, some weeks I feel saved, some I'm not. You know, maybe it's day to day. I don't know. You guys are the ones that need to challenge yourselves when you're here over these next 3 years. Challenge your faith. Challenge your understanding of what you know about God's word. And guys, if you are walking with him and you are concerned about where you're at, it's not God's will for you to wonder if you're a Christian or not, if you're saved. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you?" Psalm 139:23-24 says, "Search me, God. Know my heart. Put me to the test and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way." Earlier, I asked for a show of hands who had been at Grace Church a long time, and there was a lot of hands. And I asked that not to maybe puff anybody up or make you feel really good, like, yeah, 12 years I've been here. What about you, buddy? That's not what I wanted. I ask that to encourage you to challenge yourself, because if you've been at Grace Church even for 2 years, you've heard the Word of God taught at the highest level. You guys know the Bible. I know that. You know the right things to say. You know how to sing songs. You know how to take notes. It's all become so familiar. It's all become so consistent to where you guys have gotten to the point where you're just so comfortable, even this morning, with the things of God. There's a story of a pastor and his wife, and they were traveling together one summer, as most couples do. They took a trip from their home to a place called Yellowstone National Park. You guys know Yellowstone? Yeah, it's a pretty famous park. One of the most famous in the world, actually. If you guys didn't know this, it's actually famous for a few reasons. Number one, it's the world's first national park. I didn't know this. Has amazing hikes and landscapes and many, many things. But most notably, it's home to the most geysers, more than anywhere else on the planet, which I call them underground water volcanoes. This pastor and his wife, they came to Yellowstone to see the thing that millions and millions of recorded tourists come to see every year. And it's a geyser by the name of Old Faithful. Have you guys heard of Old Faithful? Very famous. And when they arrived, they had a reservation actually at a restaurant that is structured right around where Old Faithful is. And it's one of the largest geysers in the world. It's really a magnificent thing. And this restaurant is on the park grounds, and they got a seat with an unobstructed view of Old Faithful. They sat down, their waiter came and took their order, and they eagerly waited for Old Faithful to put on a show. One of the reasons that it's called Old Faithful so famously is that it is the only geyser in the world that erupts consistently every day, 20 times a day for about 90 minutes total. That's why it's called, hence the name, Old Faithful. Yeah. And this pastor and his wife, they're total nature people. They could not stop talking about this, about the wonder that they were about to see and how excited they were to see it. And there's just a buzz in the restaurant. You can feel it. All these tourists coming, and they're so excited. Their food came out, and then suddenly they looked out the window, and boom, Old Faithful was erupting. And immediately, every guest is up off their feet. Doesn't matter if their food just arrived or have been sitting there for a little bit. They rushed to the window, rushed outside, phones in hand, to see Old Faithful in action. People were oohing and aahing and taking pictures and taking videos and just trying to catch a glimpse of this amazing thing. And during the show, the pastor just kind of takes a look around. He just takes a moment to step away from the excitement, and he looks around and in the restaurant, and none of the wait staff, the hosts, the servers, the cooks, they're not even paying attention. They're running around, working, grabbing things, having side conversations, and the pastor was shocked. He's like, what? He looks at his wife, honey, I cannot believe they're missing this. The staff was so used to this grand feature of nature, this amazing work of nature, that they were numb to it. They were around it all the time. To them, it wasn't even special. It was just something that happened. Just something that happened every day of their life. Every day while they were at work. No significance whatsoever. There was no more awe. There was no more excitement. There was no more wonder. And students, you face a similar problem. Many of you sitting here today have become too comfortable with the things of God. You've heard countless sermons. You've sung countless songs. Your parents have read you countless devotionals. You've gone to countless events. You've taken countless notes. It's all become so familiar. And you're no longer amazed by the things of God. And I want to warn you that that's a dangerous place to be. We should never be numb to God. We should never be used to Him or complacent with Him. He's so much bigger, so much more beautiful, so much more powerful, so much more great than something even like Old Faithful. I want you, student, over these next 3 years to challenge yourself to see God in that way. Great, merciful, holy, and mighty. Isaiah 6:3 says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Revelation 4:11 says, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. Students, we're really glad that you're here and the Lord has you here for a specific reason. I'm sure of that. We want you to come to Exchange often. We want you to care about what we do here. We want you to be involved in what we do here. We want you to create relationships, meet new people. I want you to create memories to look back on, but most importantly, students, we want you to love God's word and to know that God's word is the most important thing in your life. And we want you to challenge yourself so that you can answer the question, am I truly a child of God when you leave here? And if you are, how can I know him better? Student, if you do these things well, you will indeed survive and thrive here in Exchange. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We're so thankful for this ministry and this time. Thank you for these students, for their attention. Pray that your word would speak truth into their life, that you would be with us the rest of this day. Thank you for this time and all that you do. In your name we pray. Amen.